deposit available for a limited time, you can get into your own home with startpointhomes.com.au.
When you think about how much our lives have changed in the past month, I mean, it's unrecognisable to where we were a month ago. And the truth is, the coronavirus or COVID-19, it was something that we heard in the news a little bit in January, but now we've all got so many questions and it's hard to find the answers and it's hard to decipher what's real news and what's fake news. So we've decided we're going to go to a specialist in this. Now, not only is he a specialist, Dr. Norman Swan, he's also presenting one of the most listened to podcasts in Australia right now, CoronaCast podcast. And he's joining us on the line. Are you there, Dr. Swan?
I am. Please call me Norman.
Oh, Norman, I'd love to. Thank you. Now, Norman, we've got so many questions. In fact, we're going to open the phone lines 131060. So anyone who wants to know anything, please call now. Norman, can I start by asking you about, I'm self-isolating at the moment, and I'm having a few things delivered because I'm not wanting to leave the house. And there's a bit of confusion over how you can catch the virus from things that have been delivered, whether it's boxes, fruit and vegetables. Can food transfer it? What can you tell us about that?
So the good news is that the virus doesn't last very long on cardboard. So there's not been a lot of testing done of this. So they've done testing of how long the virus lasts on plastic, steel, copper, and I don't know why they study copper, but anyway, and cardboard. And cardboard's like, you know, really a proxy for soft fabrics and things like that. They know a lot more about SARS. Anyway, in brief, the recent study on this with SARS-CoV-2, which is the COVID-19 virus, was that the virus can last up to 3 days on plastic and steel. It declines quite a lot, but you can still detect it after 3 days. But on cardboard, it's much shorter, more like 1 day. And after 1 day, there's not a lot left there. And what they know from SARS epidemic maybe 15 years ago or so, that in fact soft fabrics, the virus doesn't last there, last very long at all. So, you know, when people are saying to me, you know, what if I send a comfort package to my Nana and Pop? You know, is it going to do them more harm good? No, it's going to do them more good than harm. And, you know, it just, the prudent thing is just to wash your hands after you've opened the package. The likelihood that you are going to pick this up over something soft surface is quite low, but you just be prudent and don't touch your face until you've unpacked it, put away the packaging, and then wash your hands in soap and water.
Great advice.
G'day, Doc. Oh, Norman. My question's more about the message to people that are still going out, because we look at the cases around Australia. You look up the top end, there's only 16 cases. It's really warm up there. We're coming into our winter down here now, and it's going to be really cold. So apparently the virus spreads a lot more when it's colder. How important is it for people to stop going out, stop hanging around parks, stop going for runs when you don't need to, and congregating in places that you just don't need to go out for?
Two things in what you said there. One is the belief that it's going to get worse in winter. They don't know yet whether this is like influenza or other viruses, that it's seasonal and the ambient temperature makes a difference. That would be quite good news in some ways, because it would mean it would die off in the northern summer and die off here when it comes to the southern summer, and bad news in winter. But we don't know that that's the case yet, and there's no real sign of that. You know, as you can see from America, I mean, as America warms up, it's actually getting worse. So it doesn't look like a seasonal virus. Second thing is about going out. So you just got to get this into perspective. What we're asking people to do, it's a really difficult thing, and it's not been asked of people for more than 100 years. But for hundreds of years before that, it was very common. When the plague passed through a village, people knew not to go out. There were rules that you weren't allowed to go out and not mix, and it was just much more accepted. We're not used to it. And we're asking people to change their personal behavior to protect everybody else. And it's a really difficult thing to get your head around, is that people are right. You know, the individual risk is low. I mean, of 100 people who get this, 85 will be fine. They might get a little bit sick. 15 or 20 will end up in hospital. 5 will end up in a ventilator in intensive care, and some of those will die. And some of those will be young people, by the way. There'll be 18-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, and there's no, by the way, and there's no predictive risk factors for younger people. So older people, if you've got heart disease and diabetes and stuff, they're more at risk of dying. But if you're younger, there's no predictor. The reason you don't go out is that if you want to get back to your job, if you want to protect your parents and your grandparents, if you want the economy to get back to normal so that you can get back to a normal life, you've actually got to do it tough for the next 4 or 6 weeks so that we can really get this under control. And hopefully at that point, we can slowly get back to normal. But we're asking for major change of behavior. Otherwise, our economy and jobs will be wrecked.
I know. Now, Norman, we're going to go to our calls in a second, but just quickly, something you did touch on yesterday that I was listening to, you talked about joggers, because we're being encouraged to go out and exercise, but we should be really mindful of joggers, shouldn't we?
Well, yeah, that was a question I was asked. Do joggers, are they more infectious because they're, you know, they're puffing and panting? And actually, in theory, somebody who's exercising, sweat, I'm not sure there's any evidence that it comes out in sweat, but certainly if you're, you know, the disgusting stuff that joggers and exercises do, they probably are pushing out more droplets because they're breathing fast. So, you know, when I'm out jogging myself, I avoid other people and I make sure they avoid me.
So give them a wide berth.
Yeah, very wide berth.
When I jog to the fridge to get a beer, I avoid.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, Dr. Swan, I don't know if you've got a few more minutes to hang around. We've got a traffic report we want to take. We've got lots of questions. Have you got a little bit of time?
Pleasure.
Okay, great stuff. So, of course, he does have this CoronaCast podcast, abc.net.au/CoronaCast. Lots of calls. We'll take a quick traffic report and come back to those calls. Dr. Norman Swan on the Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
With lots of calls for Dr. Norman Swan. He is a physician. He is a journalist. He's a broadcaster. He has been presenting the health report on the ABC since 1985. The CoronaCast podcast has obviously been very, very successful because he is the man with the answers, Fief. And we've got lots of calls ready to go with questions for Dr. Norman Swan.
We certainly do. Okay, we've got Brooke in West Footscray. What would you like to ask Norman?
I've got two kids at daycare, and I mean, everyone is telling me that it's safe to go. I'm struggling in my mind with all the other social distancing, no groups, because there's surely not social distancing happening in my two-year-old's room. But I'm a mum and I need to work as well. So everyone's telling me it's safe, but it feels wrong as well.
Okay, so is it safe is the question, Dr. Swan?
Well, look, these are really difficult questions. So look, the good news for two-year-olds is that they do get coronavirus, but they don't get seriously ill with it. Babies are more at risk, and I would really, if you've got a 1-year-old or less in daycare, you want to be thinking about that a bit more carefully, because babies can get a bit sick with coronavirus. The main problem is not for the kids themselves, but bringing it back home from that environment, and they really need to. You're right, the social distancing is very hard, and really it's going to be up to parents to be really careful about symptoms. And that's where really we should get to a point in Australia, which we're going to get close to, is that everybody with symptoms should be tested. I'm not saying that should be the case, because you'll overwhelm the current testing places, but more and more GPs are able to do testing. And I think that if everybody's a good community person and they're responsible, and if there's any symptoms in the family, the child doesn't go, that would be a good thing. But they've just got to be scrupulous in their hygiene. But for the baby, the toddler themselves, there's very little risk.
Thank you, Brooke.
Okay, that's good question. To know. Now, before we go to another caller, I can see that we've got another caller. We won't get to her, but Sarah in Sunbury wants to know, could there be people walking around, Norman, that just don't know they've got it?
50% of infections with this coronavirus, with COVID-19, are from people who are either asymptomatic or they've got such mild symptoms they don't know they have it. That's the scary thing about this virus, is that it's infectious before you come out with symptoms, and some people don't get symptoms at all. And they found this out on the Diamond Princess, and they found it out elsewhere in Korea, for example. And the biggest group who are passing it on in the community, probably asymptomatically, 20 to 29-year-olds.
Wow, coming back, so important.
Coming back to your early question where people are just going out too much. And just finishing off the answer to that question about going out, is the more you go out, the more you're going to pass it on, pick it up yourself, and have it circulating, and not just risking yourselves. I'm sure people have been to school with people who have become nurses and doctors. you're going to hurt your mates. These are people who get 20% of them get infections and some of them die.
Oh, it's so worth getting all this information out there, Norman. Diane in Point Cook. Diane, what did you want to ask Norman?
Yes, hi. I was just wondering, like, if you get the coronavirus, the COVID-19, can you actually get it twice?
I get that question a lot, and I think people are getting it. You know, this is a really good question. And it comes from early reports that people went negative and then they came positive and they got sick again. And I think it's almost certain that you can't, at least not in the near term. And I think those cases were more a problem with testing, where, you know, when you get the flu, you can have it, it seems to go away, and then bugger it, a week later, you're sick again.
Yes.
It's not a second infection, it's just the flu has lingered and it comes back. It's still there in your body. And what I think is a problem with COVID-19 is the test. The test isn't a brilliant test, and it can go negative when you've still got when it's still positive in your body. It might just have gone down a little bit in terms of concentration, but then it comes back up. It looks as though, nobody knows for sure, but if it's like SARS, you're going to be immune for at least a year, maybe 18 months, and maybe even more than that after an infection.
Norman, just on the cold and flu, now that we're all isolating and we're not going out, does that mean if you're isolating and you don't leave your house, you could get through the whole winter without a cold?
Well, it didn't work for me. I got a buster last Sunday.
How did you get that?
Exactly. I mean,
you should know. You're the expert.
I'm a doctor. I should be phoning into your program and finding out, buddy doctor, what's going on. I was doing everything. I wasn't going out much, washing my hands, you know, not touching my face. And then I get this blistering thing. So I was in isolation, and I got tested on Monday, just to check where I was, and it was negative. But not a great
still
virus.
Still could be positive after what you just said before.
Well, except that another virus came up, so they did give me a diagnosis.
All right. Well, look, there were that many questions, guys, and thank you for all of them. We couldn't get to all of them, but this podcast, no wonder it's the biggest podcast at the moment, the CoronaCast. Now, that is at abc.net.au/CoronaCast. Thanks for lending your expertise to the show this morning, Dr. Swan.
You're welcome. It was fun.
You're listening to Highlights of Fifi, Bev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To hear the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch-Up podcast, exclusive to the Fox app.
We're checking in on our mates, and that's what we wanted to do. Give Magda a call and see how you're going. Magda, how's ISO working out for you?
I will put her through, even on the right phone line. Look, even in a crisis, I still make panelling errors, guys. Here is Magda now.
Hey, Magda.
Hello, love.
There you are. How are you? How are you in your isolation?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm at home writing anyway, so it's sort of not that different. it's sort of nice to be quiet for a bit. But like everyone, you know, my heart goes out to people who are doing it tough, and I'm trying to do whatever I can, you know, to help people. But, you know, it's just the weirdest time, isn't it? It's the weirdest time.
Isn't it?
Well, it's so weird. Mm. Now, you say you've been home riding and you've just released your new children's book series, Timmy the Ticked Off Pony and the Poo of Excitement. Tell us about that.
So Timmy is a little brat. He's a Shetland show pony. He's insta-famous. He's a bit of a wannabe. Yeah, well, it sounds like it. As I say, it is semi-autobiographical. They would say, write what you know. He is a very cranky little Shetland pony. Because as a friend of mine who knows me very well, she's the one who came up. My friend Kristen is the one who came up actually with the phrase "foxy moron," which I then passed on to the girls. But she described me once. She said, "Oh, you know, you're cute and you're round, but in certain moods, you're like a little effed off Shetland pony, you know." And that way that Shetland, we all know the Shetland pony, yeah. They're cute, but geez, they can turn, you know. And so he's got that in his nature anyway. But he's a narcissistic little thing, and he's just obsessed with being famous, and he wants to win the love of Saffron Horse Blanket, who's she's by Majesty out of Royal.
Good breeding.
But so he's just about to reach, you know, he's insta famous. He's just about to reach peak fame. His little hoof is about. He's on the red carpet. His little hoof is about to step into the limelight, the spotlight, and he does a poo of excitement all over everyone, and he rapidly becomes unfamous, which is, of course, his... Because not unlike myself, he's completely fame-dependent and doesn't know how to do anything in the real world. So it's sort of about the perils of Insta-fame. And,
I love that.
Which, yeah, so, but it's also the pit of excitement, I have to say, is also from another friend of mine who years ago, my friend Helen Mary, was on the phone. She said, oh, I have to go, I have to go. I said, what? She said, oh, I have to do a poo of excitement. And I was like, what? And she said, oh, you know, when you're having a really good conversation and then you just have to go and poo. And I was like, actually, yeah, I do know what you're doing.
Sure.
I do know. I think people, I'm hoping that this will help people become more aware of their bowel habits. If this is, I should hook up with the sort of, you know, the people who do the colon cancer sort of tests and all that sort of stuff, you know, because knowing how your bottom really works is, I think, you know, key to good
health. Important message.
Depends what you eat, Magda. Yeah. Now, you talk about Insta famous and talk about Insta famous. Have you caught up with your old mate Kim Kardashian from the Uber Eats ad? How's she going in isolation?
Oh, she's staying at my joint, mate. She's here.
She's on the couch.
She's on the couch eating Doritos. I can't say we haven't maintained an intimate contact. She did say if she was ever down here, she'd get in touch. We had a lovely chat on the phone, and I hear she's you know, getting a whole lot of masks made. I'm busily sewing up old bras, you know, because I just want to try and keep up with Kim. My old bras though will just they'll cover your whole head, so you'll be very.
Oh, you're the best,
Magda. Honestly, it's so good to chat with you. Shame you're in isolation. I'd love to just come over and have a cup of tea with you. Could talk for hours. You're so much fun, Magda.
I think the thing is, you know, my old Scots mum and my Polish dad, my mum lived through the Depression, my father lived through the war, and, you know, the one thing I learned from them, how important a sense of humour is. You've got to be real about what's going on in the world, but sometimes you just need to step out of it, have a distraction and be silly. And I have to say, for me, you know, it's been really, it's just so fun writing these books and just having a bit of silly time. And I really hope that kids, you know, I've got great nephews who are 13 and 9 and 3 and, you know, and my goddaughter Betty, and I think just a little bit of fun that is sometimes just what the doctor ordered.
Well, we needed you on our show to have some fun this morning. We appreciate you joining us. Of course, the new children's book. Fav, can you say the name of it, please, one more time? I feel like you're the best qualified to say the name.
Well, because the thing is, I do his voice. We did a little animation, and he's like, that's absolutely fabulous. So it's Timmy the Kick-Off Pony. And a poo of excitement. But don't get
That's
me.
Pretty much.
Don't think. Don't treat me like I'm not special because I get really ticked off.
Can I have a crack?
Go for it, Fev.
I'll say Timmy and the ticked off pony and the poo of excitement, y'all.
Yeah. No, it's not. Nope. He's not from. It's like
not from Calabasas.
Got the slightly wrong accent.
I was trying to be like American.
Well done. We appreciate it. 101.9 The Fox.
It'd be interesting in the corridors of Channel 9 this morning because a fight broke out on air, a verbal stoush on the Channel 9 news last night. Now, this was supposed to just be a cross from Tony Jones, sports reporter, editor, I'm not sure what Tony's exact title is, to Eddie Maguire to pump Eddie's show later that evening, Footy Classified. So what was supposed to just be a promotion for the show, turned quite feisty.
Yeah, with Eddie being the president of the Collingwood Football Club as well.
What I'm saying to you, though, Tony, is this is more than just a transaction. This is people who love their club, and it means more to them. Now, Tony, you want to hear what the answer is, or do you want to keep asking
no,
questions?
No, 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 we're running out of time, but you can love your club without actually putting your hand in your pocket, too,
and
Eddie.
And, Tony, if we don't have enough people putting their hand in the pocket, there will be no club. It's as simple as that.
Okay, unfortunately, there's a lot of empty pockets, Ed. Anyway,
and they'll be looked after, Tony. Don't make this into people taking money out of people's pockets. Wind me up when you're with a smart-ass last line, okay?
This
is desperate.
Eddie,
stakes, and don't try and make a headline.
I'm not trying to make a headline, Eddie.
Right?
Anyway,
so, mate,
there'll be more in Footy Classified tonight.
They must stick with their supporters, okay?
Wow.
You don't expect that when he turns his back.
No, you don't expect that for just a little cross. Hey, guys, we're beyond in 30 seconds. You just pump up your show. Go to the weather. It's a really tough one, this one, Boxy. Tony Chompers Jones obviously wanted a headline out of Eddie. And the problem with that I found with Eddie
is he got
really aggressive.
Can you explain this all, Fev? Explain it all. Like, what was the headline Eddie kept
Headline Chompers wanted was that they're going to refund all the money that people have memberships.
So if you want your money back from
memberships,
they'll give it back.
And if that does happen, the club will go under. Because they rely on their membership. The membership drives the footy club. It pays for everything that goes into the footy club. And obviously now with the players taking pay cuts, see 70-80% of the staff have been, sacked, stood down without pay. A lot of assistant coaches have been told to go to Centrelink. So if the membership money got pulled, literally at the end of this, there would be no club at all. And that's what Eddie doesn't want the headline to say. He's saying people love their clubs. They've brought a membership, so therefore they're really people that buy memberships are passionate. They love their footy club, and if they want to take their money back, which I don't think most of them do, but if you're really stuck, I'm assuming when Eddie said they'll look after them. I'm tipping that means that he'd give them money back if they really need their money.
Yeah.
I think that's what that...
He didn't want to make the general statement, yes, we'll give the money back.
Yes, we'll give it back. Because literally, I'm not speaking out of school, but all the AFL clubs will fold. And Byron knows footy, you will literally fold. There'll be no money.
Well, yeah, because the TV revenue, obviously, at the moment with no games, that's just absolutely killing them. I mean, it is really real. I've got mates at the Swans who've had to, face these challenges. So it's real. It's very real.
And the only way the players are getting paid, Fiona, is because the AFL just took out a $500 million loan against Marvel Stadium. And that's the only way they're getting paid, because there's no revenue. So if they did take that out, as I said before, that it'd be stuffed. And I understand what Tony Jones is saying. There's a lot of people out there that are poor, that can't even put food on the table because they've lost their jobs, and I understand that. But it's like if you go out and buy a car, if we all go on a lockdown, I'm not going to take my car back and ask for a refund, am I?
Well, that's a really good point, Feb. And you know what? It's fine for Tony Jones and Eddie to have this fight on air on the news, but I guess the real people to ask are the people of Melbourne, the fans. Yeah. So 13 10 60, where do you stand on this? There were two arguments. One was give the money back to people who need the money, but then the other argument is if everyone wants their membership back, the clubs will fold. So 13 10 60, as club members, how do you feel, Melbourne?
Yeah, we'll take the calls on this one. It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. 13 10 60.
You're listening to edited highlights of Fifi, Feb and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To get the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch-Up podcast, exclusive to the Fox app.
Can we play it again, Fifi, the stoush on last night's Nine News?
Oh, yeah. So if you missed it, we'll just play it again. You'll enjoy it the second time. I've enjoyed it for the eighth time. Tony Jones on the Channel 9 News having a quick chat with Eddie to pre-promote the footy classified coming up later in the show in the evening. But... oh, it got fiery.
Yeah, Fifi Fevin Byron on the Fox, and Eddie, of course, also the president of the Collingwood Football Club.
What I'm saying to you, though, Tony, is this is more than just a transaction. This is people who love their club, and it means more to them. Now, Tony, you want to hear what the answer is, or do you want to keep asking questions?
No, we're running out of time, but you can love your club without actually putting your hand in your pocket, too,
and
Eddie.
And, Tony, if we don't have enough people putting their hand in the pocket, there will be no club. It's as simple as that.
Okay, unfortunately, there's a lot of empty pockets, Ed. Anyway,
and they'll be looked after, Tony. Don't make this into people taking money out of people's pockets.
No,
wind me up when you're with a smart ass last line, okay?
No, this
is desperate,
Eddie.
Stakes, and don't try and make a headline.
I'm not trying to make a headline, Eddie.
Right?
Anyway,
so, mate,
there'll be more.
Need help,
there'll be more in
it,
footy classified
but they must
tonight.
Stick with their supporters, okay?
Wow.
Gee.
I was actually watching this and I was like, what's happened? But you can see what Tony Jones is saying, and you can 100% understand what Eddie's saying. So it's a really, really hard one. And I don't think it's up to the actual person who has the membership to turn around to the footy club and say, hey, it'd be up to the footy clubs to say, we'll give you your money back because you've actually brought that. So it's like, you can't just return something that you've brought because you can't use it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And then, totally. And they would have, let's be honest, there would be people calling the footy clubs now going, I want my membership back because there's no games. There's nothing to support. Yeah. So
unless you're really stuck.
Yeah, really unless stuck. You're really stuck. But I do see where Eddie's coming from, because this is fine for everyone to say, well, everyone should get their money back. Mm. And then next year when everyone goes, what happened to Collingwood? Yeah, oh, didn't you realise? We're under. Yeah. We don't exist anymore.
That's exactly right.
Eddie needs to fight for that.
You should be Ben, a president.
You should. Maybe the Western Bulldogs. You were the number one ticket holder.
Well, celebrity ticket holder. I would love that. Ben in South Morang. Hi, Ben.
How you going, guys?
Good.
Yeah, good, Ben. How do you feel about this? Are you an AFL member?
Yeah, I'm a member for the Richmond Tigers. Have been for about 15 years. I think it's silly that they're trying to ask for money back, if anyone is trying to do that. You're there to support your club, aren't you? They're helping through the hard times and the good and bad. I was supporting Richmond even when they wouldn't win a game. Like, that's what you do for your club.
Beautifully exactly said, right, Ben, and I reckon Ben. It's the same way we're saying stick by your small businesses, even though your cafes and restaurants aren't open, a lot of your retail stores aren't open, still support, because these are the tough times we get each other through.
Mm-hmm. When I played at the Blues and we were struggling, we had like 40,000 members and I reckon it was only 10,000 that would rock up.
It's just almost a charity donation.
30,000 that didn't turn up, especially when we were in Brisbane.
Thanks, Ben. So he is sticking by his club, Richmond. We don't know Ben's situation. Obviously, if things were dire, I guess you'd understand. But if you're in any position, you should definitely keep those memberships active.
Ben in Forest Hill. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys. How are we going?
Yeah, good. Ben, what have you got to say about all of this?
Yeah, look, I think most memberships get you a free ticket to the game as well. So, you know, if the club can't, you're paying for goods and services. So if the club can't provide the service, then you are entitled to somewhat of a refund. I agree, you definitely got to support the club, and any smart person would not ask for a refund. But if you do, hypothetically, let's just say you miss 5 games, then all right, 5% of your membership, let's refund you that if you want to be that tight about it. But I don't think members, if they're really members, they shouldn't be asking for their money back.
There we go. Yeah, that's
you're
Ben's
right
opinion.
In that instance, Ben. But just say you've got a membership and you don't go to 5 games. This is when the season's normally on and you don't turn up. Should you get that money back because you missed that game?
No, because you're choosing not to go. But if you had the opportunity to go and obviously the provider couldn't provide that service, then you're entitled in a way to a reimbursement. But again, I don't agree that people should be doing it. I agree with the previous caller. You shouldn't be asking for it. But if people want to be tight about it, then that's a fair and reasonable outcome.
What's one idea from Ben, guys? I mean, maybe the clubs could look to, I'm thinking of the Swans, for example, we have fan days and stuff. But when this is all over, maybe the clubs could look at some things to add on. So, hey, for our members to thank you for sticking with us, we're going to put on an extra certain events or...
I think they'll do that. They won't do that to you because you've probably already asked for your money back.
Well, I've lost all that MC work.
And they're just trying to survive. But we should point out, we just had Meltdown on the phones. I see all those people that were all passionately saying, stand by your club, stand by your club. And that's the sentiment of Melbourne. And I think it's really important that we indicate that that's what was happening on our phones.
Thanks for the
calls. All of them said that, Boxy.
Yep, there was 100% to zero there. 101.9
The Fox. They're all looking for fun ways to entertain ourselves, occupy ourselves, even play with the kids. Like you often look, I know we've all downloaded, you got me onto it, Fev, that tiger in the lounge room. Like,
yeah, that's
I love
cool,
doing
isn't
that
it?
With 3D. Trixie loves that. But here's another one for you. A new website called ai-art.com has generated canvas Renaissance paintings. And what you do is you upload a photo of yourself and it will show you what you would look like in a Renaissance painting. So the old Renaissance paintings. So, Feb, you get a photo of you and then you look how Vincent van Gogh back in the day might have painted you. Yeah, definitely. He's more a sculptor, you are. Well, Feb, how can you... why have we got Annie Lennox playing?
I have no idea. They told me this was Renaissance music and it's actually just a bad single from the 90s by
it's
Annie
not,
Lennox.
Hey, I'll, okay, well, I'll stop you there.
I thought it was
it's
one of
not
my
a
kids
bad
playing
song.
That song or something.
It's a great song. No More I Loves You by Annie Lennox.
I do apologise. That was not the sort of Renaissance background I was hoping for. But thank you, Annie Lennox.
Might play it as a banger. Anyway, okay, now,
don't do that.
Feb, apparently we have, our team, our producers, have loaded our photos into this website and our faces have been generated. It's up on our Insta feed and we haven't seen them yet, so we're just logging on.
Well, these are unapproved. They should have sent them to us first. So if you go to our Instagram right now, it's not even in the stories. It's actually a post, apparently. So has anyone gone to their phones there? Or are you?
Okay, I'm just logging on.
No, I'm just in a hand.
Okay.
Can you stop playing poker, Fev, and focus?
I'm all in with Ace Queen.
I've just seen myself. For some reason, I've got braces. I don't know why. How that's happened in the Renaissance. I look like a man. That's not flattering. I'm thinking through to Fev.
What's that, Boxy? What's wrong with your man? You got a mouth guard in.
It's got weird. I don't know.
You're ready to go into battle.
Fev, I've just swiped you. For some reason, you've been transformed into Gary Lyon.
Fev is just Gary Lyon.
Why are you Gary Lyon?
I look good.
I've swiped over to Byron. Byron, you you look like a gangster.
I look like that's a mugshot. I mean, that's terrifying.
Byron looks like he's going to Pizza Hut all week and eat for about 4 days.
Right. So look,
fatty cheeks are.
Before we have those deleted, because we'd prefer these not be up.
I'm happy with mine.
You're quite happy with yours, Gary Lyon. Okay.
Yeah.
What's wrong with my mouth?
Fev Byron, you need serious dental work. You look like that bloke we're talking to tomorrow from Tiger King, Fev.
Why did that happen?
Fev Byron on Instagram.
Look, you look awful.
Thank you, Fev. Really appreciate it.
It doesn't even look like
we'll probably be up for about 10 minutes and we'll try and have that taken down.
Metricon, the easy way at Mandalay with 5% deposit and no repayments until completed. Conditions apply. 101 now.